On this special edition of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, I recently joined Mission Network News to talk about the tragic death of Charlie Kirk. Stay with us. You won't want to miss this conversation. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder, and today's special episode is a little different. Recently, I was a guest on Mission Network News, where Lindsay Coe and I reflected on the shocking death of Charlie Kirk. This week, Keys for Kids has been on the receiving end of some pretty significant hatred for supporting Charlie's overtly Christian message. Charlie's voice for truth and his boldness in proclaiming the gospel impacted countless of young people's lives across America and beyond. And a lot of people didn't like his message. He impacted me. He was an amazing apologist and evangelist, not to mention a gifted communicator. And he was convincing a lot of young people that Jesus is the only answer. Well, during the interview, I share my personal reaction, how this moment is affecting the next generation, and how Christians, especially teens and college students, can remain faithful, fearless, and focused on Christ, even when the cost of discipleship feels pretty high. Let's listen in.
This is Lindsay Coe with Mission Network News. I'm speaking today with Greg Yoder of Keys for Kids. Greg, thanks for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Well, it's really good to be with you, Lindsay. I can't help but remember when you were a college student at Mission Network News when I was there, and now the tables have turned completely. And I just want you to know I'm so proud of you. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's really neat seeing the legacy go on. Speaking of legacies and ministry, we're covering today just a gut-wrenching story. Charlie Kirk, father, husband, and Christian, loud Christian voice, cut short yesterday after he was shot at a Q&A session, public event at a university in Utah. And we're covering this today with you at Keys for Kids because this is having reverberations around the world in the United States, but especially it's really hitting young people and young Christians. Mm-hmm. And I just want to turn it over to you just generally to start off. What is your reaction to all of this?
Well, when I first heard it, I actually got a call from my brother-in-law. And it's kind of a rough day yesterday for us anyway because we lost my sister, his wife, on the 10th of September 3 years ago. And so we were already kind of feeling the angst of that. And, you know, my sister was a follower of Jesus. She loved the Lord and shared her faith and was instrumental. But ironically, she was a youth leader for most of her adult life. And so she had that in common with Charlie Kirk. And she also loved Charlie Kirk, even, you know, 3 years ago when she passed away. And so when I heard this, I'm thinking, oh, great. Is he going to survive? That was the first thing. And then obviously when you see some of the video and you heard the stories, I thought only God could heal him. And I prayed to that end. Now I just kind of sit here numb, Lindsay, like a lot of people. While I wasn't his target demographic, I'm almost 60. What he said and how he lived his life resonated with me. He had the uncanny ability, kind of like the Apostle Paul, of taking Scripture and proving Scripture to be absolutely true, but then infusing it into everyday culture and helping young people understand it. And he was, and I think this is why he was targeted, he was actually convincing many of these young people that the ways of Jesus are the right ways of life. And even the conservative mindset of his politic was convincing as well because it was rooted in his faith. And he expressed that faith so clearly. In fact, one of the first questions out of one of the students' mouths yesterday was about faith. And he went on for, I'm told, about 15 to 20 minutes about his faith in Jesus Christ, even comparing it to Mormonism. And so it was an ever-present part of what he discussed on college campuses. And what I'm always amazed at is how he was depicted as some kind of monster and a hateful person, bigoted, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly, they never watched any of his interaction with college students because he loved them. I mean, even those that criticized him and called him horrible names, he just smiled and said, well, you know, you have the right to say that. I love you. Jesus died for you, and he wants to forgive you of your sins. And then he would proceed to share the gospel and then have conversation. And so to hear people say things like that has just been troubling to me. It's been troubling even before his assassination, but just the shock, the numbness that I kind of feel even now, just this deep grief of trying to know what this means for our culture, especially for those that are close to Charlie Kirk and himself. I mean, I was amazed yesterday at how many people called him their friend and how many commentators literally lost words. They didn't know what to say. They were in such shock and mourning and such disbelief. And it kind of reminds me of Ecclesiastes 3, I think it's 3, 4, 3 something anyway, where mourning is biblical. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. And in my mind, this is a time to mourn, not just for Charlie Kirk, but our culture, which is dying without Jesus. They're literally dying without Jesus. And if the culture can lie and be convincing enough to tell someone they don't know what gender they are, or that what's evil is good and what's good is evil, we know that this is the spiritual battle that Scripture is so clear about talking about. And so I've been yammering a lot, but that's kind of where I'm at right now, Lindsay.
It definitely feels like this is a flashpoint in the history of America and in the history of young Christians. For I just think of even young Christian voices in public spaces and the example that Charlie Kirk was for young Christian voices speaking up in public spaces.
At Keys for Kids Ministries, we're passionate about helping kids, teens, and families stay rooted in God's Word. And that's why we create resources like our Keys for Kids devotional for children and our Unlocked devotional for teens. Each story points young hearts back to Scripture, reminding them of God's truth in a confusing world. You can sign up today for a free email subscription or request a printed devotional for your family or youth group. Just go to keysforkids.org. That's keysforkids.org.
What does this mean for, there's been talk of, is this going to strike fear? Is this going to silence people? How would you encourage young believers who want to be bold in their faith, but now it's like, what's the cost?
Yeah, I think you're probably going to see both. In fact, I even heard some of the commentators yesterday. Some of them are kind of middle of the road conservative, others very conservative. And there was a mix. People were saying, well, I can't risk losing my family. I can't do this. I'm going to have to go silent. Others said, I'm doubling down. This is just giving me just more impetus to be able to declare this as true. And I don't know what this is going to do. What I do know is that Charlie was bold in using the platform to speak into the culture, whether it be political or spiritual issues. He helped shape conversations for young people. Navigating these really difficult and confusing times, he had the uncanny ability to be able to communicate that and help them understand and even see through the noise. I think his voice, even though it's silenced right now, it's going to echo. It's going to be something that is inspiring to young people. And, you know, I can't help but think of sovereignty in this whole thing, too, I know God is in total control, and when evil seems to prevail, God is still sovereign. 8:28 seems cliche right now, but he does use all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It is truth, no matter how cliche we think it is. No act of violence can thwart God's purposes here on earth. He has a plan A. There are no plan Bs. He's not surprised by any of it. And our hope shouldn't be in political or cultural leaders. It should be on Christ alone. And I think Charlie would say that. So getting to your question about teens and college students, let's face it, he wasn't much older than 18 or 19 years old when he started Turning Point USA. And to think about that and the impact that he's had over these 10 or what, 11 years, 12 years, 13 years. I don't do math in my head, but he was speaking out. And so when I guess I asked the question, how, maybe we can ask the question, how am I going to use my voice for truth for Christ? That's what I would be asking as a young person. I also would ask this question too. What does the Bible say about us being young, right? Can't help but think of, I think it's 1 Timothy, where it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. So we, as well, I just want to say we, because I'm not young anymore. You, as young people, have almost a responsibility to combat that and the effect that you can have on not only your peers, but on even people my age. So it won't be easy, but the question is it worth it? Is it worth someone's eternity to be bold like Charlie Kirk was by not just sharing the political side of things, but sharing your faith boldly and lovingly in this marketplace of ideas?
Absolutely. Such a good reflection. As we're just thinking about sort of the what next, as young people are processing this, how would you encourage them to be praying?
Well, I think obviously we need to be praying for Charlie's family, his wife Erica, his two kids, his friends, his close family, mom, dad, those shaken by the event. I mean, there were so many young people there that saw this, and they're not going to ever forget it. It's something that's marked on their mind. It's marked on mine. We can pray that the church will respond with grace, but to truth. Pray even for those responsible. This is going to be a hard one, you know. What is Sermon on the Mount says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Whew, that's a tough one today. Not sure I even want to do that today, but we're commanded to, and so I will. And so I guess those are the things that we should be praying about. You know, I can't help but think of what somebody said on the air yesterday, that Charlie Kirk reminded them of a cross between Billy Graham and Rush Limbaugh. Billy Graham, because he was adamant about the gospel, and he thought that that was the case, that that was the reason behind America's demise, is that we turned from God. And so he was unapologetic about that. But in the terms of Rush Limbaugh, being able to communicate that in the marketplace of ideas and help shape minds and convince people through truth that this was the case and this is the path that we needed to take. And so I appreciated that about Charlie Kirk. And now the question is, who's next? Who will join Charlie in declaring the liberating power of the gospel and yet using that to help form a political guide as we as Christians still live in this world? We're a part of this world. And are we to be an influencers in the world? I think we are.
Thank you so much, Greg. That's all my questions for now, but is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Just that I think Charlie's life should inspire us to live faithfully and fearlessly. And sometimes the fearless part is hard because we are fearful people sometimes. And then maybe encouraging us as believers not to shrink back, but continue standing for truth and proclaiming the gospel. Because let's face it, we're not used to this. We're not used to conflict. We're not used to seeing one of our own, a soldier in this march for the gospel, perish, literally gunned down. But that's what's happened. And the question is, where are we in this battle? And so we just need to be praying for ourselves, praying for our churches, and praying for those that are going to be responding in light of all of this that's happened. And being reminded of the fact that God is still on the throne.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Again, we've been speaking with Greg Yoder, the Executive Director of Keys for Kids Ministries. I'm Lindsay Coe with Mission Network News.
You've been listening to a special edition of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. As we reflect on Charlie Kirk's legacy, may we be reminded that our hope isn't in culture or a political voice, but it's in Christ alone. Charlie's boldness should challenge us to live faithfully and fearlessly, pointing others to the gospel in both word and in action. Well, if this conversation encouraged you, I invite you to share this episode at keysforkids.org/keysforkidsconnect. That's keysforkids.org/keysforkidsconnect. And explore more resources at keysforkids.org. Thanks again for listening to this special Keys for Kids Connect podcast on the Charlie Kirk assassination. I'm Greg Yoder.